Bhagavateva Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 62. This is the history of the life of Ajamiya. Stambhayanatmanatmanam. Yavat satyam yatha shrutam nasya shaka samadhatum manomadena vepitam ayan. Translation: as far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the shastras not to even see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires. But because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. Purport: unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life, even a fully qualified brahmana, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. Om Gyanatirmanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. At least Ajamil's putting up a battle. He knows that something is wrong. At least human life is there. That, as we've been speaking the past few days, you don't find today. People would think you're crazy and weird to put up a battle. Why try to control? They think the perfection of life is uncontrolled senses. Just think of this example, those of you who are horseback riders. Would you ever get on a horse that was untrained and would go in whatever direction it wanted and you never knew in advance? How many of you have ridden horses? So would you ever do such a thing? Oh, this is a wonderful horse. It's untrained. It's wild. You just sit on its back and you never know where it's going to go. Oh, you would never do that. It's very dangerous. But all you have to do is say, live with uncontrolled senses, whatever you feel like, do. Wherever your senses and mind lead you, follow. And everyone will say, oh, this is very advanced. This is very good. This is our constitutional position. This shows how crazy we've become. Ajamil knows something is wrong. He has studied the Shastra. He's battling to remember the Shastra. Real civilization trains the young men. Tapasa brahmacharyena, samena cha dhamena cha. Chagena satyasocha vyam, yamena niyamena va. First thing a child needs to learn is austerity. Prabhupada always commented that children can easily pick up on austerity. And then the men should be trained how to properly behave around the opposite sex. They should learn the processes for controlling the mind and the senses. They should learn how to be truthful, clean, tolerant. And they should learn the full rules, things to do and what not to do for advancing in spiritual life. That is the training of human beings. But you don't find that today. Therefore, you don't even get this battle that Ajamil is fighting. As far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastras, not even to see a woman. It is not possible to live like that these days. I remember one devotee, it was Hare Krishna Swami. He was telling me how he was Prabhupada's cook in the Paris temple. And France has an atmosphere. The reputation of France is not unjustified. And to a certain degree, the atmosphere of the surrounding place can seem to influence the Vaikuntha atmosphere in the temple. So he was objecting. He went to Prabhupada, I cannot cook anymore. The kitchen is full of women. You know, it's no exaggeration. In France, the people, actually, they do say, ooh la la. I always thought of it as an exaggeration until I went there. They actually say like that, ooh la la. And they make their eyes wide and very alluring. So he went to Prabhupada and said, I cannot cook in these circumstances. Kitchen full of women. Prabhupada said, very well then, I shall not eat. In other words, we have to learn how to do our duty. In the age of Kali, you will not find the ideal Vedic circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean you go out of your way to flaunt everything. Well, we just got to do what we got to do, and never mind what the circumstances are, we're doing it for Krishna. No, we should be, as much as possible, we should try to be very neat and tidy in our dealings. Especially in the temple, the kitchen, and the pujari room. These are prime areas for interaction with Krishna in the center. While cooking for the Lord, while, you know, polishing the brass for the Lord and preparing the Lord's clothes. You know, so many liaisons take place. So we have to be careful. It's not that, oh, I'm serving Krishna, therefore, never mind what kind of situation I'm in. Every devotee has a right to try to make the situation as tidy as possible. But at some point, you have to tolerate. Things can never be adjusted perfectly in this age of Kali. You might think, oh, I'm trying to be a brahmachari in this temple. It's not working out. There's just, you know, single ladies everywhere. I know what I'll do. I'll leave the temple. I'll find a traveling brahmachari party. That will solve everything. So then you're with the traveling brahmachari party. And what is the business of the traveling brahmachari party? Every day they're out distributing books. Every day you're seeing the sights of Kali Yuga. So at some point, no matter where you are, you've just got to draw the line. And realize that you're going to have to develop some tolerance and absorption in Krishna consciousness. There are no ideal circumstances. You can try as best as you can, but sooner or later you have to realize, I've got to do battle with this lust that's corroding my mind. So you try for the best possible circumstances. Men and women shouldn't be in each other's faces all the time in the temple. They shouldn't be planning, preaching together, and all these kind of things. Everything should be at arm's length. Even for householders. Just because you're a householder doesn't mean you're exempt. No, Cupid's arrows pierce everyone. So, especially in small temples, you have to be a little careful about that. You have single ladies here, you have single men, and in a small temple it's natural, you know, all hands on deck, things aren't so rigidly departmentalized, you have all sorts of jack-of-all-trades. And, you know, you just, when you have to get something done, you have to get something done, whether it's this dasi or that das or whatever, or just, hey, wait, let's just try to do something. So that is there. But at the same time, we have to be mindful. And as much as possible, try our best to have tidy circumstances. Householders are like that also. They should be like that. Not thinking, well, because she's married or he's married, they can talk to any of the opposite sex they like because they're protected. I mean, after all, he's already married. How could he be affected by another woman? She's got a good husband. What's wrong with her being in the prajari room all day with the brahmachari? Just doesn't work like that. Fire and butter. You should always remember this golden rule from the Bhagavatam. If the fire is near the butter melts. No matter, you know, it could be, he could be 40, she could be 17. Oh, well, he's so old, it's all right. No, the butter melts under any circumstances. He's got such a nice wife, he would never, you know. All you do at this particular point in Western so-called civilization is put fire near butter and the result happens every time. Every time. So those who do not want to melt and those who do not want to burn, they should try to keep as tidy circumstances as possible. Look what happened to Ajamila. He was trained as a perfect brahmana, yet he's being overwhelmed. Of course, Ajamila had not fully taken shelter of devotional service. As Prabhupada writes at the end of the purport here, because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? By believing in Krishna? Is that how you're under the protection of Krishna? Just believe in him? No. Under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. As soon as we lose track at this point, we leave ourselves wide open for all sorts of dangers. Devotional service begins with the tongue, Seva Mukhi Hijiva Dao, chanting Hare Krishna. And when you're chanting, you're asking Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please engage the rest of me in your service. Please engage my resources, my life in your service. Therefore, the natural result of proper chanting of Hare Krishna is that you allow yourself to be a part of a situation in which devotional service is always going on. Then you're under the protection of the internal potency of the Lord. That internal potency of the Lord, that is ultimately supervised by Srimati Radharani. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrutaha. Taking shelter of that daivi prakriti in devotional service means taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And in the age of Kali, Lord Krishna, in order to appreciate the position of Srimati Radharani, comes as Lord Chaitanya, and he distributes devotional service very freely. Actually, it is Srimati Radharani who recommends devotees to Krishna. This devotee is very sincere, more sincere than me, Prabhupada explained. So, she recommends you to Krishna. In Kali Yuga, Krishna takes up the mood of Srimati Radharani and goes everywhere distributing devotional service very freely. Otherwise, Krishna himself does not give out devotional service. Not very easily. Krishna makes the criteria in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati. First come to the Brahma-bhuta platform, in which you have nothing more to gain or lose in material existence. Na sochati na kangshati. Samat sarveshu bhuteshu. See all living entities equal because they're spirit soul. Madbhaktim labhate punam. In that situation, you can begin to think about rendering devotional service to me. Krishna is not so flexible. But when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, then devotional service is distributed very freely. It's so free that sometimes we make the mistake of taking it for granted. We become very dull and callous about the service opportunities available. We think, oh, it's just like the trees and the buildings are here in Bayswater. Similarly, there's devotional service. You take or leave it as you like. If one day you feel like doing it, you do it. The next day you don't feel like it, you don't. It's, you know, no big deal. There's no pressure. There's no rush. Mainly be in tune with how you feel. Krishna knows that. You should be thinking of yourself. That's the sign of an advanced devotee. When you first join, you're really fired up and you just want to please Krishna. But after a while, you realize that Krishna doesn't mind you thinking about yourself. And you learn how to please yourself within Krishna consciousness. That's when bhakti becomes very interesting. No, that's when bhakti becomes very stale. The more vibrant a devotee community you have, the more you'll see devotees asking for service. And the converse is also true. The more devotees are asking for service, alert for service, the more vibrant a devotee community you have. So, the best thing to string up the temple president for is, you're not providing enough service for us. We need more service. You should be banging on the door. What's wrong with you? We need more service opportunities. Can we sweep the floor? Can we preach? We've got to do something. Otherwise, how will we get the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It only comes through devotional service. We're not a bunch of pseudo-Christians who think we just believe in Krishna and we're saved. No, we need devotional service and then we're saved. So we can see all the time those devotees who are very active in bhakti yoga. They're happy. They don't have so many complexities. They're going somewhere. They're going back to Godhead. Yes, it is possible to go back to Godhead. And yes, Srila Prabhupada designed Krishna consciousness so that we will go back to Godhead. And our tendency is to make things so complicated, convince ourselves it's not possible. So we have all the advantages that Ajamil didn't have. We have bhakti. We have Lord Chaitanya. Although we don't have Ajamil's material training in how to be a first-class brahmana, we have the transcendental platform if we want it. So this is a very good verse for you to remember, that it is a struggle to control the senses. The centerpiece of the senses is the mind. And your mind, it's filled with heavy material desires. Your mind pushes you. It's a pushing agent, you know, from Nectar of Instruction. And it's pushing you to do certain things. And your senses follow. Your mind has conceptions about material enjoyment. And it's always pushing you. Remember this. Feel this. Do that. Visualize this. Envelop yourself in that. And according to this vision that's burning in your mind, you engage your senses accordingly. Therefore, again and again, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains to us that material existence is something that goes on in your mind. The attraction for Maya, it's happening within the mind. The only way we're going to get the mind under control is through a powerful program of devotional service. You can always see those devotees who, whether they're householders or not, some or other, if they're sincerely trying to render devotional service in a very progressive way, you can always see that they have a sense of contentment and peacefulness. Why? Because they got some momentum going. They're moving back to Godhead. It's not that only the sannyasis or the brahmacharis, they're moving back to Godhead. No, anyone can go. But you have to sort out your life so that you make some momentum, so you generate some momentum and move forward. You just can't wave your hanky at the whole process of bhakti yoga. You've got to roll up your sleeves, get into it, and do something. And of course, the different ashrams have their different styles. Therefore, if you're serious about going back to Godhead, in whatever ashram you're in, you find out those in that ashram who are making progress, and you take advice. Anyone who's serious will do like that. But we run into problems controlling our lusty desires when we seek out those who are having problems, who are standing still, and we inquire from them. How are you doing what you're doing? Can you give me some pointers? How to stand still in Krishna consciousness while still wearing your neck beads and saying Hari Bol? Can you help me out? You know, I've been a fanatic. You know, I realize I've been a fanatic all these years trying to control my senses. Now I understand you don't have to do that. So can you give me some advice? No, that's not how it's done. If you want the goal, you look for those who have some momentum. And you see how they're doing it. Otherwise, to escape the arrows of Cupid is very difficult these days. Very difficult. Just by seeing, Ajamil is overwhelmed. This is how expert material nature is. Srila Prabhupada explains that what you don't understand is if just by looking at a lusty scene in the material world you become affected, that is showing how expert material nature is. Now, naturally, we'll think that shows how weak I am. But also, you should think it's showing how expert material nature is, that just by seeing, you become hooked. Material nature is doing its job. Just by seeing, you're becoming contaminated. We should always feel a sense of humility. How massive and tremendous the material energy is. How weak am I? But that humility leads to more engagement in devotional service, not material lamentation. Oh, it's impossible. I'll never be able to do it. I might as well give up now. No, if you actually understand the material energy and its power, you know that without Krishna, there's no hope. But with Krishna, there's complete hope. You can think of Akura when he's riding towards Vrindavan. He was sent by Kamsa to go fetch Krishna and Balaram. Narada Muni had warned Kamsa, Krishna has been born indeed. Vasudev cheated you. Krishna, he's hiding in Vrindavan. And he's killed all those demons you sent there. So Kamsa sent Akura. You go get Krishna. Bring him to this wrestling match, Krishna and Balaram. So Akura, he slept that night in Mathura, and the next morning he started for Vrindavan. And the whole trip while he was going there, he's simply thinking, meditating on meeting Krishna. First of all, he's going over his own lack of qualification. How can I see Krishna? How is it that I am going to get a chance to have the darshan of the Lord? Just like sudras, they can't perform Vedic sacrifices. There's no way a sinful person like me should be able to see Krishna. But then he would say, because Krishna is so merciful, I am having that chance. So on the one hand, he would present himself as sinful and fallen. On the other hand, he would glorify Krishna, that because of Krishna's infinite compassion, because of Krishna's wonderful qualities, I'm getting this chance. So both things are there. You just don't emphasize one side. Oh, I'm so fallen. I'll never be. It's impossible. No, he's admitting his insufficient position, but at the same time he's recognizing the power of Krishna. So he's seeing himself meeting Krishna. When I see Krishna, I'll fall at his feet. Then he'll hold out his hand and bring me up. He's seeing everything. Krishna and Balaram will be there. His meditation is the ideal way of approaching Vrindavan. So we can learn a lot. How to be progressive in devotional service without being puffed up by studying Akrura's words as he's riding towards Vrindavan. We are living in very dangerous times. Without practical understanding of the material energy and how it's corrupting, it's very difficult to make progress. It's a very bad time these days for sentimentalists. We need precise knowledge because the infections are so great. Prabhupada writes here, unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. First of all, you have to realize you need knowledge. You have to understand what material nature is all about. Srila Prabhupada said that's also kirtan. He said there are two kinds of kirtan: chanting Hare Krishna and discussing the illusory energy, how it bewilders, how it binds. So Srila Prabhupada said, unless devotees hear that kind of kirtan also, they'll become weak, they'll go away. It is part of smaranam, remembering, to, based on what you've heard and chanted, analyze material existence, remembering the instructions of Krishna. How is it I'm so affected? What am I doing wrong? How can I make some changes? We need knowledge and patience also. Don't become disturbed if you overnight you don't notice a change. We have been conditioned for so many births. We must have patience. It will happen. Without a doubt. But we have to be prepared for a struggle. And sometimes our devotees, they don't like that. Why should I struggle? I came to Krishna consciousness thinking I'd get relief from all struggle. And now I have to struggle against lusty desires. But you see, that's not a material struggle. That is a struggle to please Krishna. Sooner or later, you have to do battle with this. You can postpone it, but sooner or later, you have to face it head on. Who's going to be the boss, me or the lusty desires? No matter what ashram you're in, you've got to square off and go head on with this battle. Therefore, the quicker we start to accumulate knowledge and realize that it's going to be a lifelong climb, then we become patient. Practical. We don't freak out every time our minds become overwhelmed. We know how to steady ourselves. This is a very important thing for a devotee to know. How to steady yourself in devotional service when you're being pounced on by Maya. That's why deities are here. That's why the chanting of Hare Krishna is there. That's why devotional service is here. Instead of surrendering to Maya, you surrender to more chanting, more service. You have to generate momentum at all times. It's when you're just sitting dead in the water, like a ship, without moving, that's when you're so easy, it's so easy for Maya to drag you down. There has to be momentum. When there is momentum in the devotional community, then everyone's happy. But when you have a community of devotees, whether they live in the temple or live nearby, if you have a community in which there's little momentum generated, then you get a lot of fault finding, a lot of mental platform, all sorts of problems going. But when there is momentum, everyone is simply wanting to make a contribution. How can I do more for Krishna? Then the kirtans become so ecstatic. The prasad tastes so wonderful. And people are attracted. They want to become part. of this momentum back to Godhead. So you're right in the middle of Ajamil's battle with material nature. He's trying, he's failing because of the force of Cupid within his heart. Remember, your mind it has velocity. That's why the Vedas talk about traveling in your mind. Pantastikoti vatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam. Even if you can travel at the speed of mind, if you're a yogi and you can do that, still you won't reach Govinda that way. So the mind is so powerful. It has velocity. When it's saturated with lusty desires, there seems to be no hope. That's the way it always feels like. You should know this trick of Maya. Whenever your mind is soggy with material desires, the feeling is always there. There's no hope. I won't get out of this. I just have to express them. There's just no hope. You start consulting your mind. There's no hope, right? And the mind tells you, right, there's no hope. And then you find someone else who's struggling or who's drowning, and you confide in them. My mind told me there's no hope. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. There's no hope. It's true. And then you form a little group of your own discussing how material desires are actually all right for a while. In the movement for material desires, when will the leaders realize that? Life is short. Wouldn't it be so much better if we all made agitation and commotion? We need more service. We need more opportunity to serve. Sometimes we even forget that if you simply sweep the floor for Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. We become so complicated. If you simply mow a lawn, you can go back to Godhead for Krishna. You forget that. And that is the job of the material energy, to make you so complicated that you overlook the super excellence of devotional service. So let's learn from the example of the Ajamil how the power of lusty desires ruined all his good brahminical qualities. Illicit sex is the biggest destroyer of good qualities. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mama eva amsha, you're certainly my part and parcel. Now, if we're certainly Krishna's part and parcel, what are we doing in this material existence? We are Krishna's own, but we're in this oppressive materialistic atmosphere. Why? Manashaspan indriyani, because we're under the control of the mind, and therefore we agree to struggle. The clarity of consciousness to see the workings of the mind only happens in ecstatic association of devotees. Then you start to notice your mind and how it's controlling you. Without being around active devotees, you'll never catch the mind in action. Haven't you noticed? I'm sure all of you have noticed it. When you're around devotees who are generating some momentum to go back to Godhead, and that can be in any ashram. Just like our book distributors, sometimes they may wonder, how is it I can go on like this every day amidst such a degraded Kali Yuga atmosphere? I'm going out there with these books. Now, the temple program, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, carefully chanting, that will protect you. But don't freak out if, you know, you start noticing how your mind is affected by the contaminations of the age. Understand that you are engaged in a process to cleanse that contamination. There'll be victory. Sometimes new devotees, they get shocked finding out how dirty their mind is. So, all right, don't jump out of the shower. You're rightly situated. Go on scrubbing in the shower.
And certainly there's no better way to get Krishna's mercy than distributing Krishna's mercy to others. Srila Prabhupada said, have no doubt, there's no more effective way of spreading Krishna consciousness than distributing his books. That means you also have to read them. Dayasarvam can tell you, when Prabhupada came to Melbourne, he didn't say to the devotees, oh, I hear you're Australians and you don't read that much here, that's alright. No, he said, you must read my books. They're not just for selling. And the more you read and then try to distribute them, the more you'll remember what you read. You want to remember the Bhagavatam? You have to distribute it. That's why these sages at Naimasaranya told Sukta Goswami, you've gone through all the Vedas, and most importantly, you've explained them to others. So for us, explanation means to distribute Prabhupada's books. Once Prabhupada said, preach, preach, why are all my disciples always talking about they want to preach? Why don't they distribute my books and let me preach? You can see people's minds are so agitated these days. What can they really remember? But if they have a book with them, especially if they have a set of books, then you've made solid eternal impact. You don't know how that book, where it's going to wind up. Therefore, we want to get the books out, and we also want to inspire the people to read the books. If you can simply do this in your city, you'll see a huge effect. Distribute the books and give people facility to become inspired to read the books. The more that you do that, the more lively the temple will be. Such a nice city you have here in Perth. Comparatively, you know, compared to other places. People still have little money. You don't know how long that's going to last, but they still have a little money. You know, they're mellow compared to other cities. So if we do not take advantage of this situation, this is not very good. You want to understand Bhagavatam? Sacrifice for the Bhagavatam. Material researching capacity will not get the job done. You're on the second canto now in your studies. Have you got to that purport yet? Where, be right before the Chaturshloki verses are spoken, the Prabhupada writes in the purport that a material researching aptitude will not help you to understand bhakti. It is through service, he said, that you develop the means to assimilate transcendental knowledge. Just like the walls of your stomach, they are the means for assimilating food. Similarly, the means for assimilating transcendental knowledge is devotional service. And there's no better service than distributing Krishna's glories to others. You actually feel Krishna's protection because your purpose, when you're out distributing books, your purpose is not to enjoy material nature. Your purpose is to help others to come to Krishna. How do you become an empowered book distributor? Srila Prabhupada said, when someone asked him this, it was Rohini Sutta Prabhu. He asked Prabhupada, how do you become an empowered book distributor? What did Prabhupada say? Well, just memorize your lines better. Make sure you have a strong book bag. No, he said, chant 16 rounds from beginning to end, uninterrupted. So we should take that very seriously. Then the whole connectedness of all the activities of bhakti becomes very clear. You can see chanting, reading, distributing the books, preaching, it's all one package. And it becomes very satisfying to see that. Then your life becomes so full that you don't have time to worry about Maya. Oh, what will become of me? Oh, me, oh, my. You've got so much to do. What is preaching based on? Sometimes devotees tell me, I'm just not the type that goes out and, you know, gets things going. You know, I'm not that type. Meaning, there are other devotees who they really have that ability to get things going. I'm not that type, therefore. What gets things going in devotional service? Compassion. You may have this ability to, you may not, but because you do have compassion, things start, and then Krishna starts to teach you how to do things. Sincerity, compassion is the first necessity. I cannot just be comfortable while these people destroy themselves. I may just be a young devotee. I'm still going to do my best. I'm a young devotee, but I've got Prabhupada's books. I've got the medicine. So without compassion, nothing happens. So it's not a question of, I'm not one of those go-getters, you know. I'm just not one of those persons who can just put something together and get it going, you know, launch some kind of program as if there's some special material ability that's doing all that. No, all of this is plain old compassion. I have no abilities, but these people are suffering. Let me try to distribute the medicine. So that is what we need more of. And then you start to see Lord Chaitanya work his wonders because you decided to be compassionate. Otherwise, a brahmana who does not distribute his knowledge is like a leaky pot. Soon all the potency goes away. So let us remember the best protection against illusory energy. That is to take shelter of Krishna through devotional service. There's no other way you can take shelter of Krishna except through devotional service. When we're having problems in our Krishna conscious life, it can always be traced to devotional service because that will solve everything. You cannot be very, casual about devotional service in this day and age. Have you noticed that? You can't. Because the material nature right now is so turbulent, so agitated. You've got to be at least more pushing in your devotional service than material nature is pushing with its contamination. Next time you wash your clothes, you have a washing machine, look in and you see the thing in the center called the agitator, right? That's what it's like having a mind in material nature. It's called an agitator, that thing in the center. And it's got the fins on it, whatever. And the whole purpose is to agitate the water. So you look at the agitator in the center of the washing machine, let it fill with water, press the button and see what the agitator does to the water. This is what we're coping with in material nature these days. Now, you can't deal with that just by having a namby-pamby, wishy-washy attitude. You have to be quite serious if you're going to remain immune from contamination these days because things are very degraded. So the more our devotees realize this, and don't worry, Krishna's going to give you help to realize it. Krishna will show you the real value of materialistic society very soon. Don't think, you know, the party's going to go on forever. You'll get to see firsthand what the reactions to sinful activities are. It always happens. You don't have to be a prophet to see that. It's just the way it is. That's the way material nature is wired. You break the laws of the Lord, then there must be reactions. When a whole society breaks the laws, breaks Dharma, the whole society undergoes reactions. You don't have to be a psychic to know that. So don't think that you're always going to be fighting this battle, wondering, oh, material nature doesn't look that bad, and maybe you know, I should have a big career in the material world, and I can really do some service for Krishna after I amass $1 million. Don't think you're always going to be confronted with such attractive propositions from a nice society, a nice material world. No. Krishna will help you go back to Godhead by showing you the real face of material existence. That's part of Krishna's help. Because as long as there is optimism about material advancement, it's very hellish for preaching. As long as people's heads are filled with hopes that they can enjoy, there'll be money, there'll be pleasure, there'll be surfing, there'll be fashions, there'll be ample dole money. As long as they think like that, they cannot take seriously the Krishna consciousness. It makes it hellish for preachers. There you are telling people, it's just suffering, it's just illusion, there's no real happiness. And you you know what they're thinking. Oh, come on, you know what I did last weekend? You know what I'm going to do this weekend? They're thinking like that. Just watch, try it. You're telling them the supreme absolute truth. Yukalyam shashvatam, temporary miserable, anicham asukam lokam, temporary miserable world. And they're just looking at you like, there are things that you can enjoy. There are things that you can do for yourself. There are things to buy, places to go, people to meet. I mean, there's some problems a lot of times, but there is some pleasure there. They have this hope. Okay, I'm not happy now, but in the future I'll be happy. So that makes it very difficult for preachers. And Krishna knows that. Therefore, Krishna will help. Krishna will light a fire under them, under their feet, and they'll start to dance. Where's the Bhagavatam? Where are the devotees? You'll see it. It's not a psychic prediction. It's just the way material nature works. Did you know, when World War II broke out in the States, you had to be on a waiting list if you wanted to be a nun or a monk? This monk, Thomas Merton, Christian monk who wrote the introduction to Prabhupada's first Gita in English, he tells in his autobiography, how at that time, the late 30s, to join a monastery, to join a nunnery, you had to be on a long waiting list because so many people were fried on the material world. It's not simply they wanted to become a monk or a nun to escape the army. No, they were fried on material existence. They were thinking, we just had World War I 20 years ago. There was the League of Nations to make world peace forever and ever. Now, 20 years later, we're back again with World War II. I can't stand it. This is crazy. So they had waiting lists, huge waiting lists. So that'll happen again. Prabhupada said, what are you going to do when thousands of people come to you for engagement? What will we do? What shall we tell them? Oh, but don't be too enthusiastic now. Just mellow out. And you're new to Krishna consciousness. You haven't realized that you don't have to be so enthusiastic. Is that what we're going to tell them? Don't do too much service now. No, that would be very, very bad. So we ourselves have to become convinced of the value of devotional service. And Krishna will give you some help. It'll be very helpful for devotees to see their preaching come true right before their eyes. We're preaching. It's a miserable world. There's no hope for economic development. But maybe in our hearts we're thinking, I wish there was some hope. Krishna knows that. So he'll let you see what's really going on. Just a few weeks ago, one guy who worked for the World Bank, he made a statement in Australia that this Asian economic crisis is going to get so bad that Australia is right on the verge of a depression. He didn't say recession, he said depression. So Aniruddha was telling me, 2 days later, all the politicians got on his case. What are you talking like that for? One of our congregational devotees in Sydney, he works right under the governor of the Australian Reserve Bank. He's an economic analyst. So he works right under the guy. And he says for the first time, the guy is starting to make public statements to his staff, not to the general public, but to his staff, that things are not looking good. Not only Australia, he's talking about the USA. Things can't go on that way. So this congregational devotee, he says it's his job to research the economies of different countries and then present recommendations to the governor. And he turns it over to the government saying, this is what we, our scholars have analyzed, this is the forecast. But he says, whenever he comes up with a negative forecast, he's just pushed to the side, like, we can't really say that. We can't really tell the politicians that. So he's so frustrated, He's taking things seriously. He was a medal winner at National University of Canberra, economics, bright guy. He's idealistic. I'm going to do my job. I've got all the training, all the tools. I can understand economies. So let me prepare a report. I'll present it to the governor of the bank. They'll appreciate me, my prowess, my integrity, my skills. I don't know. We can't really say this. We can't really tell the politicians this. They won't appreciate it at all. So he's completely frustrated. So I told him, never mind. You be the economic advisor for the Mayapur project. So much of their Lakshmi is coming from investments in Russia by persons who are favorable. So why don't you, while you're working at the bank, you have access to so much information, computerized financial information from around the world. Just while you're there, just start doing devotional service. Use that information to help build the Mayapur project. He can just, through a computer, he can get all the information from the Bank of England about what the economy is doing in Russia, what it's doing in this country, that country, and he's trained to be able to make predictions. So, okay, this Mayapur project will be so big, so much funds are coming through investment, why don't you help with that? Use all the facilities at the Australian Reserve Bank, use it for Krishna's purposes. So that's what he does, While he's at his desk, working up reports to advise the Australian government, he's also collecting information to make reports for a spreading of Krishna consciousness. And he's very, he has no doubts about it. No way the present economic situation is going to level out. No way. So Krishna will help us. We've been a little soft for a while, The joyride has been going on for some time, Oh, the dole is there, and the Oz study is there, and the job is there, and the moles are there, and the money is there. Of course, for a devotee, Krishna will always arrange for your maintenance. It happens in amazing ways. Any sincere devotee who's tried to serve Krishna will tell you, somehow or other, their ashram needs are met. It's amazing. It's like mystic potency. As long as they're simple. Any householder who tries to live simply, he always notices, somewhere or other, it comes through. It doesn't make sense materially, but it happens. And that was Prabhupada's program. Householders should live simply. Now, sometimes it seems the suburban style of household existence has become popular. Anyway, don't worry. Krishna will help. You'll see the natural result of materialism. It'll happen before your eyes. That'll be easier for the devotees. It'll be easier to preach. I was in Korea a few months ago. Now, up until a few months ago, Korea was the number 13 economy in the world. It's far more important economy than Australia. So I remember going there last year. The people were very confident. You could just feel that confidence as they walked around in the streets. They're very hardworking people. So they were very confident that if we just keep on going like this, we're going to surpass the Japanese and the Americans any day now. They were happy working hard, exporting. Everybody owned an export business, mom and pop export businesses everywhere. big companies. They were very upbeat. We can do it. I went back a few months ago. You can just see it in the streets. People just walking around with their heads on their chests. Someone just punched them in the solar plexus. Just trudging along in the streets, just totally down because their economy has been totally ripped apart. They still have to work, but there's no hope now. You just work and work and work, and your money reduces in value while you're working. The harder you work, meanwhile, the money is worth less and less. Very disturbing. Very disturbing. So they're just walking around the streets like, you know, they've been stomped on. So don't think that will only happen there. Krishna knows what he's doing. He will make favorable circumstances for Krishna consciousness to spread. And the devotees will be happy because they'll see the truth that material desires simply choke you. It's been a bit too much lately. Krishna knows that, so you'll see. You'll see the philosophy happening right before your eyes. When it ends. Party's always ended, but in your mind you can imagine there's a party going on. Now, even you won't be able to imagine. We chant Hare Krishna. So these miseries are not for us. Prabhupada was very clear about that. The miseries coming as a result of materialistic society are not for the devotees. Just make sure you're a devotee. Any other questions? All right. All glory to you.